Any more comments, questions? I'll do this.
Reading Romans, and I've always came back to that. Was it Romans 6, right? Where he explains, like, you know, how can we even truly sin? Of course not. And he, I read it all, you know, I've read that so many times, and it, I think one time it finally hit me, where he really tries to explain this, like, you know, how could you live there anymore? You know, like, and he's telling it to believers, right? He's telling them, you know, he'll say that, you know, how can you live there anymore? Like, you've been, when you die to that, and then he turns you to even more. He's like, or do you not know? Like, did you not know that this is what happened when you accepted Christ? That you died to this life, and that's no longer your life. And I love the way that he puts that thing, where he's like, how can you do that? Like, you're not, and for like you're an idiot. Like, how, what do you mean? How could you go back to that? He's like, or do you not know?
Yeah.
That.
And that's the issue.
That's your life now. And he lays it all down, and it just, so, you know, just reading that over and over again, it really just kind of puts you, like, how you're saying the knowledge of reality or the knowledge of reality. You know where you are. You know the garment that you're in. And I just love the way he says it in that verse. It's like, do you not know that that's your life now?
Like the pickle thinking he's a still a cucumber.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like
a pickle. You know, you're not a cucumber no more.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great
example.
That's a
T-shirt. Once a pickle,
always a pickle. And then put a verse in the bottom.
Mm-hmm. People are like,
what?
His shirts,
I
do
that.
He always have a good shirt.
That's a shirt. That's a fundraiser, man. Do it. Do it. Hallelujah. The Lord provides.
Like, I think there was a verse that said, like, if you confess, you know, with your mouth or whatever, and you, that also brings, if you confess and are baptized, then you're saved, you know. And I think Christians, and I'm going to put quotes because I don't even know what, you know, it's the label, which I don't, whatever. They take that literal. You have to be physically baptized in order to, I guess, you know, you accept Christ, and then years later when you're really serious about it, then you get baptized. And I guess that's like a ritual that I guess we're accustomed to. And I remember, like, when they would do the Lord's Supper at church, like, they would say, if you're not baptized, you can't participate with this. You have to be
an outsider.
Like, and it's like, and not even baptized by the Holy Spirit. Not that. Mm-hmm. Baptized in water, submerged in water. You can't participate.
I'm a pickle.
But to know that, that automatically happens.
Yes.
When we're born again.
And see, God, he doesn't. That's just our doctrine stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more of a declaration.
Yeah. You know, that's all it is. Yeah. Just letting other people know, hey, this is actually what happened to my soul spiritually.
Yeah.
You know, that's all it is confessing what happened. Believe it or not, after I got born again, because we're completely ignorant after we're born again. I mean, I'll confess, this is what I did. Because I didn't get born again the quote-unquote normal way, I wasn't in a church service, no one said, hey, if you want to receive Jesus, come down to the front, we'll pray for you so you can receive salvation. I wasn't in any of that. I was watching television. I stayed up in the apartment watching television, and there was an evangelist on television, and he said, you need to be saved. and I'm going to pray for you so you can be saved. He said, you need to put your hands on the television, and I'm going to pray for you so you can be saved. And I thought, well, I never did anything like that. I guess I need to do that. I did that after I was already saved. You know, it's like I didn't know any better. Ignorance, doctrines. No, God will do what he wants to do, however, whenever, whatever shape or form it takes. You know, believe it or not, I've been baptized 3 times. First time as a baby, you know, in that particular religion. The second time was actually after I got born again. I just felt like, hey, I want to let people know that something changed here. And I guess this is a way you let people know. The third time was... Well, for real, no. The third time was in Bible school.
You were a pickle by then, for sure.
Yeah, I was totally pickled, man. It's like, is it? I was vinegar as vinegar could be, but I was wrinkly. But the third time was because I knew what baptism meant. I actually knew what it meant. It's like I know what the crossing of Jordan means. For the believer, I know what the crossing of Jordan means. All it is an understanding of what already took place at the Red Sea. That's all it is. Remember, the waters parted at the Red Sea. They went through. It doesn't matter what they knew. There was the death of the Lamb, the burial at the Red Sea, and they were in resurrection. That's reality. The crossing of Jordan is just the knowledge of that reality. That's why the waters also parted. They walked on dry ground, but the ark was in front of them, and they went through. I mean, it was like, I know what happened. I mean, it's like, I actually know what baptism is. I know what happened. And so that's why I got baptized the third time. Third time's a charm.
But even like with rituals, like the sacrificing animals or festivals or, you know, to know that once you're born again, like all that's done. Baptism, I mean, it's all done.
Yeah. So no more crawling on your knees down to the altar.
I remember I would do that.
I did too. Did you kiss the foot of baby Jesus?
No.
I do.
But like, since I used to like be in the worship team and lead worship sometimes, I almost felt unworthy to be up there. To me, mm-hmm. in my mind, it was hallowed ground. Like, don't even wear shoes up there. So I made sure I had to get on my knees on the altar, ask for forgiveness for whatever I did, to make sure that I was worthy enough to be on there.
Wow.
And to even play an instrument. But there was so much, I guess, conviction. But it was condemnation almost.
Yeah.
Instantly. As soon as you saw the altar, and I'm like,
yeah.
Oh crap. I can't go up there. I gotta do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So there I was on my knees for like five, 10 minutes, trying to like re-energize my worthiness. And hopefully it comes up. Okay.
Bring me from condemned to self-righteous. That's what
where
it is.
I felt we're okay. Yeah. Now I'm worthy to go up and play and lead worship. Man, talk about ignorance.
Yeah. Praise God, he didn't leave us there.
Yeah.
In our ignorance.
But you mentioned a verse yesterday that the law is meant to guide us. And what a better guide than to be living under law and condemnation. What a better.
But see, the law, the Apostle Paul says this, the law is good and holy. It only condemns when you try to be the object of the law. Because the law is the testimony, the object of the testimony of Christ. That's the only time that you feel condemned is when you try to be a person whom you're not. When you try to be Jesus, that's the only time you're condemned. I mean, I was condemned reading the Gospels. I mean, reading the Gospels, that makes no sense. You can think of it, oh, well, I'll be condemned like reading the epistles because that's where they really hammer down on you. Or the Old Testament, you know, I mean, people got stoned when they screwed up or, you know, burned and stuff like that, you know. But reading the Gospels, but it's when we try to be a person whom we're not, totally ignorant that he's our life. Yeah. But all that to bring us to Jesus, whatever it takes.
Any comments or questions?
I have too many comments. I heard Rabin Sharon in a class like years ago. He said that God gave them the law to clothe them with the law, to clothe them with Christ, to protect them until the Messiah should come, to keep them, prepare them until the Messiah should come. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this time, Lord. I thank you for everything that's been shared, Lord. And I ask that you would continue by your Holy Spirit, just quickening your word, Lord. You've done so much by bringing us to salvation. You've done so much just to even get us to the point where we could receive everything you purposed our soul to receive, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you began that good work and you finish it in the showing of what you have done. And I just thank you for your faithfulness. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness to Christ, your Son. I thank you for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit that continually directs our heart to Jesus. I thank you for the faithfulness of your scriptures. I thank you for Christ himself, who is the faithfulness of his body, of every single born-again believer, Lord. And I thank you just for even how you speak to us, that you are always with us, regardless of where our ignorance takes us or where our ignorance has us. Lord, we can't escape out of your hand, Lord. We can't run from you. Lord, you have eternally set us, secured us in Christ, and we can't do anything to escape or to leave, even if we wanted to. I thank you for the truth who Jesus is, Lord. And I ask that you would just, by your Spirit, Lord, speak to our hearts, speak to every single person here and every single person who's a part of this fellowship, Lord, or is in contact with any member of this fellowship, Lord, that you would bring hearts by your Spirit, bring hearts in knowledge from what we know, Lord, which is completely nothing of truth, Lord, to what you know, Lord, Christ your Son. I ask in Jesus' name that you would do this by your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for your faithfulness and your mercy and your kindness to do such a thing, that you would not leave us ignorant of the one whom we received. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.